we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plum pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. It is indeed a great blessing to have you this morning. And this is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Bible, go get your hymn book. Go get your Bible, go get your Sunday school book, not your hymn book. Well, you can get that too if you want to sing. But go get your Sunday school book and study along with us today. Today we'll be looking at the lesson from March 31st. The lesson for March 31st, Call to Follow. And we're looking at in this section for the month of April, starting with the last Sunday of March, which is this coming Sunday, we are looking at the unit number 2, Called to Ministry. Our first unit that we looked at back in March was Called to Discipleship. Now we're looking at a call to ministry. A call to ministry. And then we're looking at on the 31st, coming this Sunday, it's going to be Called to Follow. Then first Sunday in April will be Called to Mission. Then second Sunday will be Called to Remember. Third Sunday will be a call to believe the resurrection. And then fourth Sunday will be Called to Make Disciples. And so we're going to be looking at call to ministry. And we're looking at a call to follow, and that's Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, call to follow, verses 12 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 22, and it reads like this. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelled in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and the dim which sat in the dark and sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprang up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their net and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their net. And he called them, and immediately left their ship and their father, and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts now in a mighty way, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right, and so we're looking today at call to follow. And so we're moving now into the section of ministry. See, there's various different calls. There are various different calls. There's the first call of salvation. Once you get, and that's the first call. God called you, number one, to get saved. But then after you get saved, then there's a call to ministry. There's a call to ministry. And this is what we're looking at here. Actually, if you really think in terms of progression, there's three calls. There's the call of salvation. Then there's the call to discipleship, because you gotta learn first. You gotta learn first, and then you see a call to ministry. Then you see a call to ministry. Sometimes people they tie the call to ministry and the call to discipleship. A lot of time they tie both of them together. Sometimes you'll see them together. So that's why sometimes people say there's two calls, and then sometimes people say that there's three calls. It all depends on how you look at discipleship and ministry. Sometimes people, they tie both of them together. And we come now, though, to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had proved that he was indeed the Messiah. Keep in mind, Matthew is looking at Jesus as being the Jewish Messiah. That's why Matthew gives us the genealogy. He shows Jesus' genealogy. Mark don't focus on Jesus' genealogy because Mark is writing to the Romans. But Matthew is writing to the Jews. And because he's writing to the Jews, it's very important that they understand that Jesus is this Jewish Messiah that was prophesied long ago. And so we see that John now has been put in prison. It says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And so you see here that Jesus starts moving now. He's getting ready to start his ministry. He done been proven that he could beat the devil. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he defeated the devil. The devil tried to tempt him, but he was able to overcome all of the temptations of the enemy, the devil. And now he's starting his ministry. And notice, Jesus did not start his ministry until John was locked up. And so John, the forerunner, who pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Keep in mind, Herod now done locked John up. And so Jesus starts his ministry. He starts his ministry now right after John done been locked up. How many of you know, a lot of times a persecution, rather than shedding down things, when people persecute Christians, it normally spreads the gospel even greater. It was just like when the persecution came to Jerusalem after Jesus had been dead, buried, resurrected, and went on back to heaven. And they tried to shut up Peter, James, and John, and they start persecuting them, telling them not to preach no more in Jesus' name. Remember, the gospel started spreading even more. A lot of the people, they left Jerusalem, but they went to Judea. And when persecution came to Judea, they left Judea and they ran on to Samaria. Just like Jesus said it would happen. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, he says, "And you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and in the most part of the earth." And so persecution normally do not stop the gospel, but normally persecution spreads the gospel. So when John was locked up in prison, rather than it stopping things, it basically spread it things. It spread it, the gospel. Because the Bible says, he departed into Galilee. And in other words, when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, that he departed into Galilee and leaving Nazareth. And Nazareth is about 20 miles from Capernaum. He came and dwelt in Capernaum. And this was in the area, the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, this seemed to be a very insignificant town, Capernaum. Matter of fact, it was just a fishing town, a lit fishing town there in Nazareth. I mean, a fishing town there in Galilee. But outside of the Gospels, you don't hardly even read about this lit town. And so Jesus glorified this town with his presence. With this, in other words, Jesus put some of these lit towns on the map. You wouldn't even heard of these lit towns hardly if Jesus had not done any ministry there. And that's why even when Philip went to Nathanael in John chapter 1 and find Nathanael, and Nathanael, a lot of people say, was from Canaan, which was close to Nazareth, he asked, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And he told him to come on and see. And so Nazareth was looked upon as being, didn't have, let me put it this way, Nazareth didn't have no good reputation. Nothing came out of Nazareth that was good when it come to the news. So it had a poor reputation. And these lit towns, when you look at verse number 14 and 15, it says that it might be fulfilled which was prophesied, was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, and that Elias can be translated Isaiah. We know him as Isaiah. The prophet saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. This was the backwards part of Israel. They looked at these people as being like hillbillies. You know, it was just like the Beverly Hillbillies. The Beverly Hillbillies, they was from the Ozarks. I mean, they was from the backwoods of Arkansas. Yeah, and then they had cousins that stayed in the backwoods of Tennessee. And so you have these like hillbillies, the people that stay in the darkness. You know, when you look at the Beverly Hillbillies show, they didn't know nothing about modern convenience. Remember when they moved to Beverly Hills, they didn't know what a dishwasher was. They didn't know anything about running water and stuff. They was thinking that you had to tell Ellie Mae or Jeff Rowe to go and fetch some water from the cement pond. Remember, I mean, these people, they was backwards. They was in the dark on a lot of things. And remember, they didn't even know nothing about no doorbell. Remember, every time they would ring the doorbell, the music would be sounding. You know, the doorbell would be ringing, and they didn't know that that was the doorbell. And matter of fact, Uncle Jed asked him, Jeffro, have you ever been able to find out where that music is coming from in the wall? He said, no, because every time I start looking for it, somebody show up at the door. He didn't connect the doorbell with the door. Yeah, that somebody was ringing the doorbell, and that music was the doorbell. So they was in the dark. Well, this hide was the area that Jesus came in. These people, they was in the dark. I mean, these was backward people. See, let me tell you, God came for backward people. Let me just say that. Put that out there. God came for backward people. See, if Jesus came to this earth today, guess where he would set up his headquarters? Don't look for him to set up his headquarters up in North Dallas. Don't look for him to set up his headquarters over there in Highland Park. Don't look for him to set up his headquarters where the rich and the famous hang out. No, Jesus would set up his headquarters in the worst part of town. He would set up his headquarters in South Dallas or West Dallas. He would set it up in the projects. Yeah, that's where Jesus would set up his headquarters. And that's where he set up his headquarters when he came the first time. He set it up there at Capernaum. So he was going to base his operation right out of Capernaum. And that's what the Bible prophesied that he would do that. Isaiah prophesied that, and Isaiah, keep in mind, Isaiah, he lived between 680 B.C. and 740 B.C. 740 B.C. and 680 B.C. So, Isaiah, he lived roughly around about 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, just like Isaiah had prophesied that was going to happen, it happened. In other words, God fulfills his promises. He fulfills his promises. Now, look down here at verse number 17. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did he preach? He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did Jesus preach when he came to preach? When he was preaching, the thrust, you know, of Jesus' message was a message of repentance. He came to preach a message of repentance. The thing that's missing today in preaching is the message of repentance. People today are preaching about prosperity. They're preaching on family life. They're preaching on name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Some are preaching on civil rights. Some preaching on gay rights. Some preaching on some other kind of rights and what have you. But Jesus didn't come preaching all of that. Jesus came preaching repentance. He came preaching repentance. What do we mean when we say repent? Repent basically means a change of mind that leads to a change of lifestyle, a change of behavior. And so it's like a U-turn. Jesus is telling people to turn around. You're going the wrong way. See, if you knew people was going the wrong way, you wouldn't go out there and preach a message of you can have what you say, a name it, a claim it. No, you would be telling people, if you knew a bridge was out, you wouldn't be talking about you can have your best life now. 40 days, you'll have a better life in 40 days. 40 days, you'll have a better husband in 40 days. How to have a new child in 40 days, and how to have a better husband in 40 days, how to have a better wife, like they preaching today. No, if you knew the bridge was out and people was getting ready to run off the road because the bridge is out and they're getting ready to go off a cliff, you would be telling them to turn around. Turn around. You would be yelling, saying, turn around, turn around. Every day you'd be going out telling them, turn around, turn around. The bridge out, the bridge out. Well, man is on his way to hell. And we need to be telling him, hey, you need to turn around because the bridge is out. Yeah, man is on his way to hell. That's the wrong way to go. You need to let him know. That's the wrong way to go. Turn around. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. And that's man's problem. When we are born into this world, we are headed the wrong way. We are headed to hell. Did you hear what I said? We are headed to hell. We're on our way to hell. And somebody got to come into your life and tell you, turn around. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. And so that's what Jesus did. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what was he talking about when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Well, a lot of times you see in the Bible the kingdom of God. And then other times you see the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Jews, they had so much respect for God's name. A lot of times they didn't want to pronounce the name God. And so they would say the kingdom of heaven, which means the same thing as the kingdom of God. But they didn't want to pronounce that name God. They had so much respect and they looked at God's name so high and so holy and so reverence that they said the kingdom of heaven. And what is we talking about when we said the kingdom of heaven is where heaven, God brings his heaven to earth. God brings his rule to this earth, where in order to have a kingdom, you have to have, number one, a king. Number two, you have to have subjects. And then number three, you have to have a domain. You have to have a realm. And so Jesus is the king, and those who accept him as their personal savior come up under his rule. And then you have a spear, his government. And so we have, Jesus is saying, it's time. It's time, you know. And the Jews, they look forward to one day God bringing his kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so one day Jesus is going to reign in the millennium. 1,000 years he's going to reign. And that's why you have to be born again in order to be in order to see the kingdom. But what was he talking about right here? He was talking about the spiritual kingdom. His spiritual kingdom will come first, and then his physical kingdom will come second. But he was letting them know, because the king is here, then it's time. It's time. I mean, this thing can happen. This thing can happen any moment now, because you got the king. You got the king. And so you better hurry up and turn around and become a part of his kingdom. All right. He goes on now, and Jesus is moving 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they was fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway left their net and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their net, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And so you see these four responses. All four of these men, they followed Jesus. They dropped their fishing net. They dropped doing what they was doing, and they became a part of his ministry. This is a call of ministry, or a call of discipleship, however you want to look at it here. Because these men, let me back up. Why did these men, let me ask a question to these Bible scholars here. Why did these men, when Jesus called them, they just dropped their net and followed him? Did you notice that? Simon Peter and Andrew, they dropped their net and they followed him. Same thing with James and John. They dropped their net and they followed him. But this tells me, first of all, that they had a relationship already with Jesus. When you look at John chapter 1, they had already answered the call to salvation. That's John chapter 1. So when Matthew them is calling, when you see the other four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they dropped their fishing nets and followed Jesus, the reason they could drop their fishing net and follow Jesus is because they already knew Jesus. They already knew Jesus. They already had a relationship with Jesus. They had already had became saved. And now we see them that once you get saved, now it's time to serve. Yeah. So the call of salvation come first, but then there's a call of service. And so this is what we are seeing now. We're seeing a call to service. Now my question that I want to ask you, have you answered the call? Have you answered, number one, the call to salvation? If you haven't answered the call to salvation, you need to answer that call today by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So answer that call first. And then the second call is the call for service. You need to drop what you're doing and learn of the Lord. Go study and learn of the Lord and be busy. Find yourself serving the Lord. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.